Blog Talk Radio.
You know I love that organic cooking, always ask for more. And they call me Mr. Natural, on down to the health food store. I only eat good sea salt, white sugar don't touch my lips. And my friends is always begging me to take them on macrobiotic trips. Yes, they are. But at night I take out my strong box that I keep under lock and key. And I take it off to my closet where nobody else can see. I open that lid so slowly, take a peek up north, down south. Then I pull out a Hostess Twinkie and I pop it in my mouth.
It's the Junk Food Junkie. It was a huge hit back in the 70s for Larry Gross. Hi, I'm Burke Allen, broadcasting live on WAMS from Washington, D.C., our nation's capital. And you hear a lot about the importance of reducing the fat in your diet or lowering your total cholesterol level or maybe adding more calcium to build bone mass. Our guest today is Randy Karp. He has a book called Misinformed About Food, and he takes to task lots of these things that we've all learned down through the years about food and says maybe things aren't exactly what we believe. And Randy joins us today. Hi, Randy. Thanks for being on the show.
Hi, Brooke. How are you?
I'm good. Now, your background is not necessarily as a physician or a nutritionist, but you are a researcher of food and the anti-aging process. Is that correct?
That's correct. I received my degree in human services, actually, and I had a clinic for retarded and autistic kids and looked into their behavior and noticed the same thing I'd found years later in other populations of kids that weren't achieving things, which was the lack of the right fats in their brain.
You know, I'll tell you, Randy, my wife, who's a registered nurse, very much is a believer in just how much what you eat can change everything from your personality to your mood to some health things. So let's do a little myth-busting right now.
Okay, great.
And start with fat, which I think for most of us we think of as a bad thing. You say not necessarily so. As a matter of fact, is it true you say that we actually need to get fat?
We absolutely do. One of the things that we've done is we've listened to all the so-called authorities. And my book is not based on my opinion. It's a 51-page bibliography, mostly journal articles. And we've been told to abandon these things. And we, years ago, as you may recall, we followed the Mazzola lady. And we ate bird food, and we gave up steak and eggs, and we wound up with more heart disease than ever before.
Sure.
So I'm talking about the right kind of fats, and those are what we now lack in our brain because we've gone so far the other way.
What about cholesterol? That's something that I'm sure lots of our listeners struggle with. It's something that I struggle with, too. You say, though, that your total cholesterol level is not necessarily a predictor of heart attacks or heart disease. Is that right?
Yeah, it's actually one of the worst predictors of heart disease, contrary to what we've been told. And what we've been told is feeding a multi-billion-dollar statin drug industry. There are components that are bad. LDL's bad. LDL's you're lousy, and HDL's you're happy. Easy way to remember it. And the ratio does count, but as far as cholesterol itself, people don't quite understand what statin drugs are doing to them. But one of the things they need to know is that the same method that statin drugs use to impede the production of cholesterol, which is what they do, they don't go in and gobble cholesterol up like Pac-Man. They impede a pathway. Think of it as a waterfall or a cascade. And
okay,
one of the first things on that same cascade is your sex hormones, also CoQ10, and something else called squalene. So when you're reducing the production of cholesterol, which is a very important thing, your brain needs it to communicate, you're actually you're impeding some very important things that our body needs to produce.
So just to break it down into layman's terms, are you saying then that we really shouldn't pay that much attention to these high cholesterol readings?
No, I think you need to pay attention to your high LDL. I think you need to pay attention to your triglycerides. But as far as really paying too much attention to a total level, which, as you know, it started out at 250, and anything under that, you know, the docs were telling us you got to have a statin drug, and then 225, and now I think it's down to somewhere around 185, and it's a business. And I'm not saying there's no value in statin drugs. Certainly after a stroke and for other instances, those things can be very valuable. But to routinely take statin drugs to lower your cholesterol is nonsense. In my book, Misinformed About Food, I talk about a whole bunch of natural ways that you can raise your HDL and lower your LDL.
Randy Karp is our guest today. The book is Misinformed About Food. It's available online and at bookstores everywhere. And Randy has worked in and around the health industry for years. As a matter of fact, served on the board of directors of Clarinda State Hospital, the Polk County Association for Mental Health, on the advisory of the Clarinda Clinic. And even Dr. Barry Sears, who many of our listeners have read, has called Randy's information must-know material. Now, if you'd like to be on the program, our number to call is 718-506-1944. 718-506-1944. That's a free call if you're anywhere in the New York City metropolitan area, and that's where Sam in New Jersey joins us. Hi, Sam. You're on the air with author Randy Karp.
Hey, Randy. I was wondering, is there any relationship between stress and food? Like, I know that I eat differently when I'm stressed out about work, so is there some kind of relationship between the two?
Yeah, it's a very good question. There's certain things in your brain that basically increase hunger. There are certain hormones that increase hunger, and you may have heard of something called leptin. And what happens is the more cortisol that you produce, the more that your brain punishes the mechanism that controls your appetite. The other connection, of course, is that the more you eat and you start getting belly fat, it's the worst kind of fat. It becomes stored fat, and it's the precursor for lots of different things potentially, including type 2 diabetes. Once you start storing too much belly fat, and there's body mass indexes and different ways to measure around your hip area, you can just Google it, I guess. But yeah, there's a great correlation between it, and some people actually go the opposite way. What happens when you increase too much fat in your body, or you increase too much sugar, you've heard of the glycemic load, if it comes in too quickly, it forces things like your pancreas to produce more insulin rapidly. Eventually, insulin's like a garage door opener. It opens and closes at the cell level, and your cells, you've heard of insulin resistance, they become more resistant to opening and closing, and pretty soon you're left with circulating blood sugar, which is the precursor for type 2 diabetes.
Sam, do you find that you eat more or you eat differently whenever you're stressed?
I personally eat more. Is there any type of food, Randy, that you could recommend that can curve that app or that hunger?
Yes, definitely. One of the things I do, and maybe I take it a little bit to an extreme, but it's fun for me. I have little tubes I put in a little packet that fits in my pocket. They're just glass tubes you can buy at the container store. And
okay.
I put psyllium powder in there. And when you have psyllium powder, basically what it's doing is it's giving your body, it's bulking up your food. You're basically talking about something that is indigestible, but it based on the water that it absorbs, it bulks up whatever food you're about to eat. So if you can take that a few minutes before you eat a meal, maybe even 20 minutes before you eat a meal, it'll help tremendously in satiating not in satiating your appetite, but in feeling fuller sooner.
That's
okay.
A great tip. Thanks for the call, Sam. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sam.
And Randy, I can tell you again, as I mentioned, my wife, who's a registered nurse, a huge fan of psyllium, so I think what you have to say makes a lot of sense. Let's get into junk food a little bit. To have a little fun with it, your bumper music into the program was Junk Food Junkie.
That's great, yeah.
Is that really the albatross around our neck in terms of poor health and poor eating in America?
Well, I think it's one of them. There's a couple of them, but certainly one of them. And unfortunately, we're in a culture where everyone has time for everything in their life except their life. So when it comes to fast food and vending machines reaching out to children in school cafeterias and making it easy and quick to get nourishment, you're also up against another thing. You've got the government that's been subsidizing the corn industry and the milk industry now for many years with taxpayer dollars. So you've got makers of high fructose corn syrup, which is found in almost everything. I don't know if you saw the movie Food Incorporated, the documentary, which is
sure.
Very well done.
Yeah.
Okay, you know that corn's even in cameras and notebooks. I mean, it's in everything because the government incentivizes growers to be able to do that. So a burger can still stay at a buck, and then you go into a health food store and you see all this quality organic food that seems extraordinarily high priced next to it. So, yeah, it's the junk food is definitely hurting us, but now we're diagnosing obesity in babies as early as 6 months of age from certain types of baby formula that are just loaded with all the wrong stuff.
So then if the goal is to eat less and move more, your number one recommendation to make less food feel like more without dieting would be the psyllium powder that you talked about?
Psyllium powder is one thing. I endorse a product. I don't get paid for endorsing it, but I do endorse it. And it's a product that I actually sell on our website. It's called Just Like Sugar. Just Like Sugar is the first FDA-approved sugar substitute that's actually allowed to make health claims. It's made out of chicory root inulin, which is a pre and probiotic, and the outside of organic orange peel. So truly, the company makes the claim that the more you eat, the healthier you get. 5 pounds is about 1 calorie. So I take packets around with me when I'd normally crave something that's a little bit sweet. In fact, my wife Kelly, who's got 25 recipes in our book that are healthy recipes, she actually has created on our website a healthy pumpkin pie.
No, that sounds fantastic. Does it taste like a pumpkin pie?
Yeah, it is. It's a very healthy pumpkin pie. It's even made with a nut crust, and she's happy to give people out the recipe for it. But there's many things that you can do. One of the things is eat nuts. Bring a bag of nuts. Throw it in your kids' in their backpack. Nuts, they break down gradually. And I guess one of the things that's important for your listeners to note is the more foods that, in general, the harder a food is, the more gradually it breaks down in your blood, it feeds your blood on a slow roll. And that's really what you want, instead of quick spikes that leave you hungry shortly after, they hit your brain.
Great effective information from Randy Karp. The book is Misinformed About Food. And you mentioned a website where I'm assuming the book is available along with this Just Like Sugar product. What is that website?
Yeah, it's RK, for my name, Randy Karp. I couldn't get just Informed Living, so it's rkinformedliving.com.
rkinformedliving.com. There are a couple of other talking points that I wanted to ask you about, and one of them was this claim that you make about toothpaste being bad for you. And I don't think any dentist in the world is going to want to hear that, so you best explain yourself.
Well, there's a number of things, and if they go to the website, they'll see the blog this week, which is there toxic waste in your toothpaste? And again, I never like to impugn all makers of everything. Things are made differently. But generally speaking, there's many things, including titanium dioxide, that are in toothpaste. There's ingredients there that are designed to whiten your teeth. There's ingredients there that are designed to foam. And many of these things are so toxic that there's disclaimers. If you read in the very small print on the back of many makers' toothpastes, there's disclaimers. If you take too much, if you give a child more than a little pearl drop, basically they say on the back that you're supposed to go to an emergency room. Some of the product has rat poison in it. People don't believe that because the government says it's okay as long as you take a small enough dose of it. In the end, I do give recommendations in the blog this week on the right kind of toothpaste. And the nice thing is that with all these woe's me things out there, there's great alternatives to everything. And we have great information today to turn your health around that we didn't have 10 years ago.
Well, and in this last 60 seconds or so that we have, give me a couple of bits of good news, because it has been pretty doom and gloom today.
Well, okay, good news. You do need to get fat. You need to get the right kind of extra virgin olive oil. A lot of it's not the right kind, so get it in small bottles, not large, because it's a fat and it degrades, and make sure it's an opaque bottle so it doesn't break down from fluorescent light while it's sitting under the store.
Makes perfect sense.
And eat avocados.
Avocados?
Eat avocados. It's one of the healthiest foods you can eat, and it's got a great balance of soluble and insoluble fiber and healthy monounsaturated fat.
One last quick question for the bread eaters in our listening audience. White, wheat, or none at all?
None of the above choices would be my preferred choice. If it's wheat, it needs to say 100% whole wheat. If it doesn't say 100%, they can put in 0.5% and get away with it. My favorite bread, if I have to choose a bread, is sourdough, because the acidity in the sourdough actually punishes the quick entry of glucose.
Fascinating information. The book is called Misinformed About Food, and Randy Karp is the author and our guest. And Randy, tell us again the best place for our listeners to pick up the book.
You can pick it up now. I'm having author advanced copies that I sign on our website at rkinformedliving.com. It's all one word. And then in October, it'll be out in stores and Amazon and Kindle and all that.
rkinformedliving.com. Randy Karp has been our guest today. Randy, sure appreciate it. And the time flew by. Thanks for being on the show.
Thanks so much for having me. Have a good one.
You bet.
Thanks.
You too.
Bye now.
Bye-bye. I'm Burke Allen. Thanks for listening. Now, go out and make it a great day.